hanging out on the front porch. That's what we're talking about here right now at Rosie on the House. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. We're talking about if you build the front porch, they will sit. So we're talking about tips and ideas about what you can include in your planning for a front porch. We've already established the fact that it's just not a front porch without a swing, right? You've got to have a comfortable place to sit, for sure. And not just for you, but hopefully for your spouse, for your kids, and for any neighbor walking the street that opts to turn up off the curb, up your front walk, and sit down and visit for just a few minutes. Make a comfortable place to sit. You think of communities like in Prescott, the old Senator Highway, as you're driving through parts of town. All those big, beautiful, gorgeous front porches. They were a tradition for so long. And we were talking a little bit the last hour about how we moved everything to the backyard. And a swimming pool in Arizona will have a tendency to do that, draw you into the backyard. But don't hesitate to lose the opportunity to come out and establish your presence in the community on your front yard. One of the things a front porch can do is it's proven it greatly enhances the security of your neighborhood. When professional thieves are determining what neighborhood to hit, they actually send expert screeners out. They're casing your neighborhood, and they're looking for neighborhoods that have high amounts of vacancy during the day with dual incomes, people all leaving the home, kids are at school, mom and dad are both on their jobs. High concentrations of neighborhoods that are empty during the week tend to be a very high probability target for these people. Well, they're out casing your neighborhood, and maybe about halfway down the street, you've got a retired couple living in and amongst that people, and they like to sip their coffee out on the front porch in the morning. They will immediately, the thieves, scratch that neighborhood off their checklist and say, nope, don't want to take the chance of being seen. So it does a lot for security to encourage you and your neighbors to push out the front door and enjoy your coffee, read your newspaper, or enjoy the sunset and the evening walks that your neighbors are taking. The swing, a comfortable place to sit. Install some outdoor lighting. And I would encourage you to think about, in any lighting instance or situation, we call light bulbs inappropriately located glare bombs. Okay, you don't want to have these bright spotlights shining in your eyes, distracting from the ambiance you're trying to create. If you've got security spotlights, turn them down. Turn them towards the ground. Light the area. As a matter of fact, we have recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, for the homes we build and remodel, we mount the security motion detector spotlights on the backside of the eave where you don't even see it. And all it does is light the outside walls of the house with a motion detector that's pointed out towards the perimeter of the property. So if anyone is approaching the house after dusk, the lights immediately light up the entire exterior perimeter of the house, which is more than enough to distract that nefarious visitor. And it isn't something that you're looking at as a neighbor constantly, these big, bright runway lights shining out from your house, out across the front yard, across the street, into your neighbor's front windows. So consider that, again, just one more concept of being a good neighbor. Think about what you're establishing. Think about what you're doing and how it could impact your neighbor. So it creates a friendly environment. It creates one of those stations that you can sit down and enjoy your property. it also creates a level of neighborhood, community, and security. If you've got a favorite front porch story, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. And Romy mentioned it at the top of the hour. Our calendars for 2022 are out. They're printed. If you'd like one, we now currently distribute about 40,000 of these calendars statewide. We distribute them all for free. They are more than a calendar. They are a handbook of home ownership. You can request a free copy simply by reaching out to us at rosieonthehouse.com. Let us know what address you'd like them sent to and how many copies you would like. Maybe you, as a good neighbor, would like to get a dozen to go around one afternoon or evening, knock on your neighbor's doors, and hand them a copy. We just recently mailed a couple hundred to a realtor in Tucson who said, I give them out to every single client I meet. If you'd like some, let us know. I think we're down to about one pallet left, right, Romy?
we're moving through them. We're going to save a few for the Sabal Home Show in April. And then we've got the Tucson Book Festival as well.
I'm always looking forward to that. That's a great event.
It is a great event. And the only reason we were able to finally start participating is you have to be a publisher. Well, with the physical print calendar, that wasn't the reason we did it. It was just an added benefit we found later. We're now considered a publisher and could attend the Tucson Book Festival.
We'll be at the Casa Grande home show as well.
There you go. So it's great to be able to get out and about again.
It is.
And we haven't been at anything for, 2 years now almost?
If you are interested in more about what Rosie was talking about as far as security in your neighborhood, we did some talking points last week about joining Neighborhood Watch and marrying that with the Nextdoor app. If you don't have that front porch, there's a lot of us that take some time to get that front porch going. It's a great way to know who your neighbors are, what's going on, and it's in real time. A lot of people monitor that, hey, this is going on in the neighborhood, or did you see that? Or, it's a great way to keep track of what's going on.
I don't know why so many master plan communities don't build in a front porch, and even the back porch is, in my opinion, quite pathetic in size.
You don't count an 8x10 patio cover as a backyard
porch.
When you can be outside 6 months a year here, easily with no kind of extra comfort. And then in the summer, you can get through it with shades and mist and stuff. Rosie and I drove through that Agritopia in Gilbert. It is magic. I said, what is this? And they've got these beautiful trees lining the streets, and they kind of make a canopy of shade. I was like, what is everybody doing there? I thought there was something going on, but it was just the neighbors out. There's a bunch of men talking about a car and some women on another one drinking some coffee. I thought, I long for those days.
Well, it's typical for those of you that have moved here from other locations where front yards and main streets are more compatible to that. It just happens that Arizona grew so fast after the 50s, they all became massive subdivisions with streets, sidewalks, front yards, and larger backyards that we then built walls around and created an environment where we changed the culture of the neighborhood. And it's good to see some of it coming back, for sure. Go ahead.
Well, and part of being a good neighbor in the front porch is if at times you're gone or summer vacation or, whatever the case may be, going and pulling off door hangers that accumulate on your neighbor's porch, the people that walk through and leave advertisements or whatever it is.
Flyers.
Handing out, putting out.
Unasked for brochures and coupon books that are thrown on the front porch.
Yeah, having a space for delivery packages that don't pile up somewhere.
Not at the front door that just yells, hey, we're not home, that one, yeah.
They announce it. We've got a text question here from Ramona in Scottsdale that says, how often should I flush my water heater? I'll take that right now since we are a question and answer call-in talk show. Ramona, here's what I would tell you about that water heater. How often should you flush it? I'm going to consider it's probably a traditional tank style since you're asking the question about flushing. I'm going to assume it's about a 30 or 40 gallon. It doesn't matter if it's electric or gas, But what does matter is how old is it and when was the last time it was flushed. I generally tell homeowners when they ask me that question, they're generally looking at the water heater and it's beginning to show signs of rust or little drips of leak, or they know inherently it's 15 years old, it's about to die. Can I flush it and extend its life? No, you cannot. If you haven't regularly flushed your water heater and it hasn't been flushed in 5 years, do not try flushing it yourself. Chances are you will cause more problems than you will prevent. There's just too much sediment build up there. You don't have the expertise to know when is it thoroughly flushed out. Not only that, but when you rinse all of the sediment out of a hot water heater that hasn't been rinsed in 5 years, there's a good several inches of gunk sitting on the bottom of that tank. And getting all of that out and getting it all out in a way that it doesn't cause problem with your shutoff valve could be a problem. Now, I will tell you this. If you have a plumber at your house and you're having them do something else, it would pay you to have them check the condition of the anode rod and see what they charge to flush the system while they're there in case the pressure relief valve sticks open or the shutoff valve sticks open. They'll have what they need to fix it. But draining and flushing your old water heater is not a way to extend its life. You drain and rinse and flush a water heater on a regular basis, primarily just so you can be bathing in clean water.